January 8, 2021. It's a lot for Pedro's show.
Thank you.
Lot from Pedro Show. Happy Friday. Maybe it's the second one of the year. Get lost track. We started John Coltrane doing My Little Brown Book. And Wayne Krantz after that with Solstice. And people, Brother Matt's at the Love Grotto a couple miles south of here. Pleasure Point, because we're quite in quarantino mode. But I am not totally man alone because of those genius software people in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got Mr. Tim Lefevre. Welcome aboard, Tim.
Thank you for having me, Mr. Watt. It's an absolute honor.
Well, likewise, right back, peace, brother. Let's go through your. Well, first, tell us about this Wayne Krantz.
Oh yeah, that's just a snippet from. Well, that was probably like 1999. It was kind of the initial stages of this band we had with me, Wayne Krantz, and Keith Carlock on drums. And it was kind of became like a New York kind of a hang. We played like every Thursday night in New York for years, and it just became a kind of an institution and rabid kind of, you know, a rabid following to not huge, but rabid, you know. So
what was the pad you played every Thursday?
The 55 bar.
Okay. That's happening. But let's go way back before 1999.
Yeah.
Tim, your earliest musical recollection, please.
Of me playing an
instrument. Remember, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. There's no hard questions and no wrong answers. No, I mean, just a memory. I mean, some dudes tell me, like, when they were 2 years old, they remember hearing Hank Williams on the radio or shit. Just anything musical that you can go back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, listening to, like, Paul McCartney was, you know, because back when I was a kid, it was AM radio. So, like, you hear Paul McCartney, like, you know, silly love songs or you know, just stuff like that. So that's kind of first things I heard in my ears. And then the first time I was playing, like, I played acoustic. My sister got an acoustic guitar for Christmas, and I wasn't really playing chords on it. I was, like, kind of playing along one note stuff with AC/DC. And, you know, like, Back in Black came out when I was a kid, too. So I was, like, you know, that's kind of where it all started.
Well, I was going to ask you, well, where was it that you grew up?
Massachusetts, Foxborough, Mass.
Foxborough, okay.
Yeah.
So in the pad, there was an instrument. There was a guitar, your sister's. Any other stuff?
Yeah, I mean, my dad was a middle school music teacher, so we had a piano.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. That's good to know. So you come from a musical family.
Yep. Yeah.
So everybody plays. So there's a piano in the living room, right?
It was downstairs. Yeah.
Okay, downstairs.
Like that.
But it's in the pad somewhere. Did they make you do the lessons thing?
Nope.
Okay.
No.
And what about at school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
Yeah, all the stuff. All the stuff in order for me to play bass in the band, I had to be in marching band and concert band, and so I had to play tuba and all this other shit.
Tuba,
yeah.
Well, you know, it would have to be bass clef, right? But you could have fucking rocked the bone.
You're right. And that would have been way more punk. Tuba. Yeah,
but tuba's pretty bitchin'. Well, now was it a tuba or was it a sousaphone?
It was both. You know, so like during football season, you know, we have to play for the stupid football game. So, like, I have to wear a sousaphone. You know, you wear a sousaphone. And then for a concert band, which is between, you know, after football season, then it was a tuba, you know.
Now, was the sousaphone plastic?
Yes, it was. Piece of shit.
The live at Massey Hall, Bird's got a white fucking plastic horn, right?
Yeah, Ornette used to play one too, I believe.
Yeah, but I don't think it's because he's pawning the stuff for junk and shit. But anyway, it saves the weight for having to fucking schlep that thing around, right? Tim, what was the first record you bought with your own money?
Let me think. Might have been ELO, Out of the Blue.
You know, because when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money, so I'm wondering, you know, what you're going to spend it on.
Yeah. It was that, or I could buy cassettes, too. I mean.
Anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was that. And then like, you know, Rush, Exit Stage Left, and some Van Halen, you know, kind of went that way.
Well, you mentioned cassettes. Did you get in your buddy's stuff, the fucking mixtape thing where they make you tapes and you turn you on to shit?
Yep.
Yeah, that was really important in the early days of the movement here. That's how you knew about shit. Yeah.
Yeah, right, 100%. And, like, you know, when I went to college, I was sort of in the jazz scene. And, you know, like, so, you know, a lot of the Blue Note records and all that crap you didn't have, like, people could just make cassettes for you so you could still hear it.
Right. It's really important.
Yeah.
Also, the cats you would meet in a record store.
Yeah, right. 100%.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, it's kind of a bigger thing now, right? You go, because record stores are not the rage anymore, but like it's kind of like the hang in a record store now, because everybody who's still sticking around like knows their shit there. So it's like it's really cool to go hang and tell me about this and tell me about that. And
right.
It's rad.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we do a little of that on the internet, but they're just the real life of coming together. What about the first gig you saw? What was the first gig
that I saw? I think I went to, like, my, you know, because my dad was a piano player and a jazz aficionado. I think he took us to, when we were kids, the Newport Jazz Festival. I think we saw, like, Herbie Hancock and Chick Corea play, you know, double pianos. I remember that.
Whoa. My first gig was with D. Boone, and we saw T-Rex.
Oh, man. That was
everybody always says that.
you were underwhelmed?
No. When I look back now, I mean, because they weren't really that popular then. But, man,
right.
You tell people that nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
it took a while. Yeah, it took a while for Bowie and all that stuff to get untrapped in the States. Yeah.
I think he had, they had one hit, like, Bang and Gone.
Yeah, right.
But David Bowie, yeah, I think, him and Mark Bolan friends at least borrowed from each other, you know, that scene. And really interesting. Also, Sid Barrett was probably part of that too. You know, that was trippy. England was finding their kind of their own way after doing all the blues research.
and all the post Beatles, like, you know, they could trip out in the studios. I mean, I watched the Pink Floyd documentaries to see how they made the Dark Side of the Moon. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, the Roger Waters, David Gilmour. Yeah, yeah. I was talking more about the Piper at the Gates of Dawn.
At the Gates of Dawn, right? Yeah. Right, no, I mean, that's an incredible era, too. I mean, it's just, you know, like, since I didn't grow up, like, 5 years earlier or something like that, I kind of just caught on when it was, you know, Dark Side of the Moon, et cetera, et cetera. What was playing on the radio, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, most people I knew didn't even know. They sold that record, like, with another record. It was called A Nice Pair or something. They were capitalizing on the success of that. Anyway, I want to stick with your story. So you said you went to college. Did you go to music for music?
No, I went to my parents didn't want me to get a music degree, so I went to University of Rochester, and the school that's associated with that, so music school, was Eastman School of Music. So I hung out there and played with people and stuff, but I didn't get a music degree. No,
I should tell people Rochester, Big Eastman, Kodak.
That's right. That's right. That's that place ran the city for a long time.
And I think Xerox too. I think there's two big companies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. Until the digital world killed it.
Right. That shows to go. Remember Sony Walkman? They owned the personal music thing, and they lost it all.
Yeah. Yep.
Right? Oh, you can't make a hard drive that's little. Yeah. Right. Steve Jobs said, "Watch." or listen.
Yep.
Anyway. So you were doing music kind of on the side. So
I mean, yeah.
Well, what does it go back in high school? Did you have a garage band, a basement band, bedroom band, that kind of shit?
I had a bunch of bands with people. Like, first of all, like in middle school, like I started playing bass, and so like I had a band with this guy named Paul Munafo, who now goes by Paul Marshall. And he's like a big rock DJ in Phoenix, Arizona. So he's like my old friend from like middle school, and he, you know, his hair is down to his ass, and he's still a rock fan. It's unbelievable. So yeah, we did that. Yeah, I played with everybody I hung out with in high school. We had little bands.
Well,
we played shows. And,
you were saying that you had to rock the tuba to play bass. So you wanted to play bass.
That's all. I didn't want to play tuba. I wanted to play bass.
Yeah, I know, but you said that was kind of a condition.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
Okay. Because that's unusual because my days, like, bass was like right field in Little League. That's where you put your retarded friend. So I love to hear about a guy who really wanted to play bass.
Yeah. At first, it was kind of my dad, because, like, you know, I was playing my sister's guitar, right? And he's like, and I'm not, really playing chords. He's right. Like, yeah, you're a bass player. He just identified it right away. And, you know, at first I didn't love it, you know, and then I wound up loving it. But, you know, it was kind of like just cut by default is why I started playing it, you know. But I saw that it's cool, and, like, we had some fun, like, playing some rock and roll stuff, and, you know. But, yeah.
Left hand of the piano.
That's right.
That machine that has one button for every note.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I want to play this.
You know, that's how I had to learn. Like, I used to do weddings with my dad. Like, you know, he'd make me come do weddings in eighth and ninth grade. Like, you know, he could hire around Boston to go do weddings. And so, like, you know, like, he'd make me come and play at the weddings, you know. But, you know, like, I wouldn't know half the tunes because they were, like, old standards, like, you know, barbershop tunes and whatever. And so I'd have to watch his left hand like a hawk to figure out what the changes were.
So. All right. But in a weird way, it was probably good training.
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't like it, you know, like, because sometimes, you know, I subbed on the Colbert Show with John Batiste, and, like, you know, he'd, like, change the song we were going into commercial with, like seconds before, and I'd be like, I don't know this, because I was just a sub, and, you know, then I just have to watch his left hand, and that kind of helps a lot, you know, knowing how to deal with that.
So big thanks to Pop. Look, I'm going to play this My Friend from Vlossom.
Slowly on the street view, yeah. Primary colors arresting me, yeah. Stalking slowly on the catwalk. Cameras rolling when I met you.
Question. Study the Thank you. I was born. But I'll never be nobody's running dog. And if you live, you will suffer. And me, God help you endure. Well, they say there's no rest for the wicked. You can be sure there'll be no rest for the poor. Well, I sent all my money to the madhouse, the mama hall, where it all gets spent. No one in the government ever has to choose between food or rent or medicine or gasoline. They just point their fingers and they tell their lies, 'cause the pitchmen who never have to come clean, they put a blind eye on it, they put a deaf ear to it, so that someday things stay just the same. Burning on my body day after day, after taxes we might get back. You see, the hard way is the only way I got. So if it gets bare knuckles, up you'll stand. Don't look to Washington for your corner man. All they offer is an empty hand, promises thrown down to a drowning man. You got it rough, that's really tough. I'll look into it. Excuse me, I have to make this other call. But I'll put a blind eye on it and a deaf ear. So that someday things stay just the same. If you live, you
suffer.
And me, God help you. Into hell they say there's no rest for the wicked. You can be sure there'll be no rest if you're poor. They put a blind eye on, they put a deaf ear to, so that someday things stay just the same. Things stay just the same. Things stay just the same. They worship that green Jesus and kneel at a bottom line.
Spattering nursery walls, swimming in dirty clothes. Now's what he can. Water child, coffee boy, alcohol man.
Watt from Pedro Show. Yeah. Vlossom. People, that's with a V, not a B. My friend. What's that about, Tim?
Well, basically, you know, it's just that I do a lot of music making with my friend Nick Littlemore from Empire of the Sun. They're kind of like an ethereal dance pop band from Australia, but they're kind of huge down there. So, you know, like I used to go to his house in Hollywood all the time, and we'd get high and just like make tracks like that. Like I don't, that turned into that song, but that I did that, you know, high on his couch. You know, I don't remember what the context was, but that wasn't for that song. And that's what it wound up doing. So, yeah, you know, you've been there.
Yeah, like, yeah. That's what's
really you pull up the pick and play some cool shit. And they're like, he made it, Nick Littlemore made it sound amazing. I mean, you know, it did not sound like that when I was originally playing it. I'm sure of that.
Well, that's one of the bitching things about music.
It's a beautiful thing. Man, yeah, and, you know, speaking of which, like, I wasn't lucky enough as a kid to check out Firehose and the Minutemen and stuff like that. I mean, your whole approach on bass is just like, it's just stunning. It's like so authoritative and aggressive, and I love it. Because, you know, I kind of do this. I mean, it's not as prominent because I'm always buried behind a bunch of other people in the band, but like just your tone and the way you rip the bass apart, I'm a huge fan of that. It's amazing.
Well, you know, I wanted to be D. Boone's bass player. And I'll tell you what, another secret, power trio.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah.
Right. Like you said, you're buried behind a bunch of dudes. And I learned from Jack Bruce, well, you know, cut out the competition.
Smart man.
Okay. We heard Bombas Brendan with Video Lost, Transideo with Northeast Corridor, Leyden Jars, London Gone, The Numbers Band, Blue Collar, Guide by Voices, Liquid Kid. And finally, Overconfident by Sodato?
Yep, Sodato.
What's that about, Tim?
Well, it's one of the guys, you know, Jason Linder, he's a keyboard player. He's one of the guys we play with. Like, we've had a band together with Donnie McCaslin, Mark Giuliana, Jason Linder, and I. We're the guys who ended up playing on Bowie's last record on Black Star. But Jason and I, you know, have a mutual love for, like, analog synths and just kind of, even though it doesn't quite sound like that on this track, especially, but so we put together a little synth band, and we made an EP, so that's one of the tunes from it. It's not even out yet. That's a new one. It's kind of fun.
And you're not playing bass, you're playing synth.
No, that's actually bass on that.
Yeah, really. It sounded like it, but you know, there are some synth basses that sound, you know, they use them in funk and stuff, pretty fat.
Yeah, oh yeah.
What was it called, the Funky Worm or some shit? I remember as one of the first. Yeah, because it's so legato, you know, it's so all connected.
Yeah, I play with a pick and, you know, I just slid it up and down. And, you know, it's an easy bass line, but it's just kind of fun. You know, you just, that's the cool thing about, like, you know, being, like, sometimes you're stoned, sometimes you're not. But, like, sometimes your sound palette and stuff is just kind of like, you know, it's like listening to Pink Floyd. It's like, oh, you feel stoned again. So, like, that was kind of one of those lines. It was just like, whoa, that's cool.
Can I tell you an interesting bass thing with Pink Floyd?
Yeah.
There's an album called Meadow.
Yes, I love it.
The first song is called One of These Days.
Right. Don't go down. That one.
But there's two basses.
Is that what that is?
I found the story about it. Roger Waters couldn't really play it that even. So David Gilmour, but instead of losing Roger's track, they kept both of them. And that's what gives it that fucking trippy sound.
Oh, interesting. I thought it was a delay of some sort.
It's two actual bass tracks and David trying to help Roger out. But ain't it trippy about, that's why there should be more Petri dish, you know, you just experiment.
Oh, I agree. I had no idea that was the case. I always just assumed it was like a delay pedal. Wow, that's a mindfuck.
I didn't either, but that's one of the, I don't know what you call it, benefits of YouTube.com docs.
Yeah.
And these dudes like explaining and, you know, talking to these guys and stuff that you never knew of kids. It was just sound coming out. Yeah, you had no idea the background. But that's what I heard. It's actual two bass play. And it, one of them being kind of incompetent and off the money gives it that character.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. You know, like, you know, it's kind of one of those things, like, you know, like, say, let's take Anthony Jackson, for instance, right? Like,
great bass man.
Oh, he's incredible. He's, like, one of the greatest ever. But if, you know, you go into a studio and you listen to his bass tracks solo, they're all, like, probably lined up. You could probably nod your head to them and, and it's like all groovy and stuff. Like you don't even need the click track. If you listen to like somebody like my solo bass track, it's just all raw and all over the place. It's just like,
you know who was a trippy bass player solo? Ronnie Lane in the Faces, Small Faces.
Oh yeah,
man, are those trippy bass lines?
They really are. They really are.
They're really creative, but they ain't fucking it up. It ain't James Jamerson. Well, it kind of is, but kind of ain't.
Right, right. I went down the wormhole with Bob Daisley with all those Ozzy Osbourne records. Yeah. That guy is playing. His time is incredible. It's just like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, he's some kind of studio guy.
Yeah, but to talk about trying to fight through the mix, oh my god!
Oof. Yeah, unless that somebody isolated that, you'd never hear that stuff.
I know
how brilliant it is.
So you know, a lot of them, got, like the cat in Iron Maiden, I guess it's his band, Mr. Steve Harris. You know?
Yes.
You know, he's out there. It's almost like he's mouthing all the words. He ain't singing it, but he's mouthing. You know, I wrote this or whatever. That's a trippy thing about the bass. But, you know, the aiding in the bed, I think, is really important. At the end of the day, it's the big picture, right?
100%.
Yeah, and maybe it's a little irresponsible just to say, hey, you're just focusing in on that, you know, all my notes are golden notes. If that somebody was telling me.
Right, yeah, I'm kind of anti that at this point. I learned some lessons over the years. It's just like, okay. You know, as long as it's cool, like, you know, especially when you're like recording yourself, I'm like, it's fine, you know. Yeah.
Well, I guess in a reggae thing, you can be the big Bogart. There's no problem. In fact, I got to see Family Man. I saw Bob Marley in 1979, I think, at UCLA. And man, what a great bass man, Family Man.
Oh, he's one of the greatest.
Yeah.
It's so underrated, man. It's incredible.
But not by me. I put him way up there, that cat. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Tony Mamoni from Perubu, he was a big hero of his, too.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think in the early days of the movement, because I didn't really know about reggae, you know, it came from England, right? And those guys, the movement was already kind of mixed in with that because Jamaica was, I don't know, part of England's trip, colony thing. So they had that connection. And, you know, coming from arena rock, where you couldn't hear the fucking bass, and all of a sudden there's this music, right, reggae. And Bob Marley had a song called Punky Reggae Party. And, you know, it was like, whoa, okay.
Huh.
And also I think another big dealio, Tim, was since, like, a lot of the dudes were just learning how to play, you were finally on an equal footing. It wasn't just the
100%. And also, you know, the other thing about like you're talking about the UK Jamaican connections, like, you know, like when I turned out, I was a huge drum and bass fan, like, you know, going back to the jungle days, like early 90s, mid 90s, and all that stuff. It's like, you know, you listen to it, it's like all the breakbeat drums, but it's all, you know, dancehall reggae bass lines and reggae lyrics. It's not like what it turned into. Like, that's the original shit.
Ain't that trippy? Ain't that trip. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. January 8, 2021, Dishawat Pedro Show. Special guest, Tim Lefebvre. Hold tight for hour two. January 8, 2021. It's the second hour. Watt for Pedro Show.
Jot it down on the paper, jot it on the paper when I get the skyscraper. Shiver when the sky high, high. There's just the stingiest sliver of a sky. Plain glass windows capture the clouds. The wind and the rain have been subdivided, and the very last thing a songwriter's wrapped in a burial shroud. And the key to the city is buried way down deep. So let the Lexington Avenue line gently rock you to sleep. There's footprints on the ceiling, rumors being passed from ear to ear. 100,000 streets, and not a single one of them lead you out of here. Every little thing is expensive, except the top, of course, is cheap. Just gotta let that Lexington Avenue line gently rock you to sleep. Your mother and your father, they're long gone, and all the lovers like a broken string of beads. Newspapers blown all across Broadway like some kind of crazy tumbleweeds. So just go ahead and let it out. You won't be the first just to break down and weep. Then let the Lexington Avenue line gently rock you to sleep. There's a spotlight that burns right through your curtains. Your prayers have been recorded and then reversed. What used to seem spontaneous and impromptu now just seems too goddamn well rehearsed. And the Lord's down on his knees, just begging for a soul to keep. You ought to let that Lexington Avenue line gently rock him to sleep. I was sure I'd someday overcome those crazy odds, but my banner of triumph is not yet unfurled. I've heard it said so often that I almost do believe that this town's the smack dab center of the world. And maybe I'll never make what they call that quantum leap. So I'm just gonna let that Lexington Avenue line gently rock me to sleep, rock me to
Father, you chased me as a child. I grew to resent, to fear, despite leather-belted anger held tightly fisted. Your taunts whip-slapped, burning down the sides of my legs, shook fear out, sweaty. Fluid screams escaped my throat. Even so, I defied you. Padlocked my tear ducts so you would never see me cry, liquid steeled. Metallic Heart's legacy, your gift to unwrap daily. Father, paternal irony. A smoked oblivion overflowing ashtrays of kick-ass perfuming our home. Regarded your child, no regard. Sex, your weapon of mass destruction aimed at budding breasts, the tiny swell of emerging hips. Death, our mutual vocabulary. Cunt. Whore. Virgin. Whore, kicked into frozen deafness. One day I will write poems astute, smash them into my flesh, unseen scars like melted cobalt, hard-ass vein, resolve. My witness to what you stole and what you took unmasked, your face a twisted frown, freckled. My whore blood shot like a cannon from my nose, spit on it. You imagine me a parallel. My mother, your wife, all of us exiled like death. Indeed, he wished me dead. Repeat, dead. Now you too are dead. You did what death does. I smell it just below my skin. There is no fear greater than one I have already known. My God, my idol, my enemy, my saint. You made us an altar from leather-belted love. Your first item up, magazine women. Their filth between their legs spread across our broken coffee table. Your eyes meet mine like glass shards. I turn the pages dutifully and learn. Good girl, you say. Now, I will never grow beautifully, only damaged. My whore blood flows inside. But father, despite your efforts, I did not die. Fear-tangled nerve cells cut off breath, but not my heart. I learned how to feel. One by one, my fingers traced emotional webs. Knots loosened until release was assured, until they pulsed, ate, drank, came, and they came loudly. Awakened from near death, an orgasm of fuck you from the mouths of angels, they came like soldiers, frontline warriors defiantly stunning. Now, I sleep awake, but safer. I lock doors no one knows I possess. Open windows, flaps of valves. Fresh air is a touch, warm, desired. My mouth opens, breathes in 1,000 kisses. All the ones I missed. Life is soft. A searching tongue brushing my skin. Filth is a memory, faint. But whispering barely audible. Just strong enough to know. Just strong enough to know, Father. Just.
Watt from Pedro Show. We start off the second hour with John Holmes live. Whose hat is this? And Tim's going to enlighten you.
Yeah. I'm glad you like it, first of all. Yeah, it's an all-improvised band from kind of remnants of Tedeschi Trucks Band. So we all used to be in Tedeschi Trucks Band. Now a couple of us are not. But that's how the idea was. Like, you know, because, Derek, we do a decent amount of improvising every show, but then, you know, one day we were in Germany or something like that, and I knew a club owner in Berlin, so we just went to started doing gigs and just like improvising the whole time, and it was a blast. Turned out I thought it was pretty good, so like I, you know, we put that record out. That record's on Rope-A-Dope, but first one's self-released. But yeah, it's cool. It's like, you know, just like going and improvising is one of the things I love the best to do.
Who came up with the project?
Well, what happened was the first gig, like, and it's on the vinyl. I'll send you the vinyl when we get done with this. But basically, we played two sets and recorded both sets, and then we came back for the second set, and somebody had left like kind of a nice hat on JJ's snare. So he gets on the mic and he goes, "Whose hat? Hey, by the way, thanks for coming. Whose hat is this, by the way?"
Ah, okay. And Pedro,
he said it.
Pedro, we would call that a donate.
Yes.
Then we heard people, Sam Bennett out of Tokyo with Lexington Avenue Line, Saint from Jerome Parker Wells out of St. Louis, Dr. Herman Green, we lost him in November, Memphis, Andrea, and finally, Phonic Landform Resonance from the New Age Doom. What's that about, Tim?
That's, okay, that's like a new project from a couple guys from Vancouver and a couple of us from LA and blah, blah, blah. So like, you know, it's basically Eric Breitenbach's, he's a drummer. So it's kind of his thing. He's like, he just sent me drum tracks and said, put whatever you want over it. So I was just like, okay, cool. I took out the bow and like did some really ugly bowing on upright bass. And I just put some analog synths on it. Just like, you know, just it's basically noise something, noise avant-garde something. I don't even know what you call it. It's free jazz.
You know what? Guard. I think with music, you can get away without it having a label. One day, I played with this guy, Mike Baguette, a nice cat, and came up with this idea, post-genre.
Yeah. That's about right.
You know, that the record companies ain't got power, why do we got to label everything so they know what fucking bin to put it in at their fucking chain stores that don't exist anymore?
It's so dumb, I know. And then, you know, like, also, it's like, well, this is too weird and blah, 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 but it's not. It's still improvised. It's still fucking, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, Eric hired they have a little label and then they hired PR. Like, it's actually getting good reviews in like, some serious magazines. I'm like, wow, okay. That's the kind of stuff where I just like, people would just be like, God, I don't want to listen to this. You know, I mean, it's not your Bruno Mars crowd, I suppose, but it's just like, it's funny to hear reaction, you know. Who knows?
Well, yeah. You know, for me, the movement was never about a particular style. That was up to each band. It was more of a state of mind, you know. In fact, trying to free your fucking mind, free your ass, and let your mind follow or some shit like
that. And you're like a revolutionary. You're like one of the people who's, you know, carrying the torch for that. It's awesome. Without you, like, where would we be, really? You know what I mean? Nobody would have any balls.
Well, you know, in a way, that was for us because I did 125 months with the Stooges, and some of the shit was going on in the 60s. The arena rock just came and buried. Yeah, there was little labels, there was garage bands, all kind. But then the arena rock came and just rolled it all over. So we had to and I graduated high school in 1976, so I'm really lucky to be in the right place, right time. But, somebody once told me, you know, the only thing new is you finding out about it.
That's right.
Tim, what about using the internet to trade files, making records with people you're not even playing in the same room with?
I mean, it's kind of reality these days. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's cool because, you know, in terms of just economics, fine. You know, like somebody from Arkansas wants me to play bass on the record, it's easily done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't replace playing live, obviously, with the other guys, like what that feels like and which really does add like quantifiable magic to the music in your recording, right? It's like, you know.
Well, it depends. Like, what if you hate the dude you're playing with?
Yeah, well, there's that too.
Look, I want to play this Ray Gun from Jason Robert Blum.
Bye.
Watt from Pedro Show. Yeah, we started that chunk of music off with Reagan from Jason Robert Bloom. Enlighten us, Tim.
Okay, that's another band project I'm involved with. It may wind up being called Branzino, which is kind of a fish. Jason, as well as a really good songwriter, is also an incredible chef. So, if you go on his Instagram, it's he's just on his stories, he's cooking us nuts shit. So, Branzino is a kind of fish. So, basically, that's what we're going to call the band at some point. But, basically, we all produce that. It's just kind of fun rock and roll stuff. We're experimenting with some sounds and kind of did some Queens of the Stone Age guitar solo stuff. I actually tripped that out a little bit with a synth pedal. I put it up a half a step. So it's piece soloing in two keys, which is pretty fun. it's fun. It's just, to go down and make records where you're kind of interacting and you have input into how things are going. It's really cool. And I think, that's also the drummer from Whose Hat Is This? It's JJ Johnson. So, okay. And it's produced by us and Jason Kings, those amazing guys from Atlanta. So,
oh, great. Then we had The Faster You Go, The Better You Think from the World Inferno Friendship Society. The Bottom of the Pond from Eternal Return. Uno from the New Harnessians. I guess they're into harnesses. Plus Dog. Harnessians. I don't even know how to pronounce it. I'm sorry for fucking up your name, people. Plus Dog Plus with Dirty War. And finally, Knower with Hanging On. Enlighten us, Tim.
They're from L.A. That's Lewis Cole and Genevieve Artadi. And okay. They're kind of the rage among young people. It's kind of fast funk and neat little chord changes. It's kind of the new wave of what young kids are doing these days. And that tune happens to be slow, but a lot of what they play is fast. And they're starting to gather huge crowds and stuff. So,
what's your connect with them, Tim?
It's a weird one. It turns out that Lewis is a big fan of a lot of the bands I used to be in New York, Wayne Krantz and Rudder and a couple other things. Anything with this guy Keith Carlock, that drummer I was telling you about.
Yeah.
So when I moved to LA from New York, which was 2011, we kind of connected and he's like, hey, we're going to do a tour. You want to play? So I ended up, it's been a long lasting relationship with me and Lewis and Genevieve. So yeah, they're really cool people. And, super humble and just completely outrageous drummer. I mean, you've got to hear this guy. And he's also writing and producing all that stuff. And then they self-produce all these videos. It's pretty, pretty crazy operation.
But younger people, right?
Oh, yeah. They're in their 20s. Well, maybe they're in their 30s now.
But what I'm 20s. Trying to say is, that's cool nowadays. You don't have to. I took a drummer with me the last tour I did a year and a half ago. He was a month short of 40 years younger than me. That would have never happened when younger man.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's kind of a positive development.
I think so. I mean, everybody has, everybody wants to play with each other at this point. So it's fun, I think. I mean, I bet he was great on your tour.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole idea, I think rock and roll used to be sold as just a young person thing. But, what happens? Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get less younger. It happens, right?
Yep, less younger. That's right.
The only defense you got against that, you can't turn back the clock, but if young people have an open mind, you ain't over the ropes.
That's right. That's right.
So I'm most grateful for that. That was a big issue when I was a teenager. Because there was a big divide between, the establishment and the young people. I remember Bobby Dylan getting some award for something. He's like, look at you. You're old. He must have been 28 years old or something. You're old. It's a fuck you very much. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, January 8th, 2021. Special guest, Tim LaFever. Hold tight for hour three. January 8th, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
What has happened since all my eyes looked in the screen? Left the center, left them in the green. Bricks and lights,
Oh, Universe is gonna provide. Baba ooh, my mama, Sam Saint. Swami with the AR, Lama on the 58. The Alpha, new Mega, more hysteric saint. Coke don't rap a lot. Sing a little ditty, and I'm like, y'all, I heard it like it roars. Like it, fire, iron horn. Playing with the metaphor. Supply of the wrong man. Fuck the Jones, trying to keep up with the Willie Ram. Y'all know what the Willie Ram. Y'all know what it is. Straight showbiz.
Watch for Pedro Show.
Start off the third hour with Moot Points from Alassane. Enlighten us, Tim.
That's a song written by Alassane Diarra, who's a talented songwriter, pianist from Phoenix, and he co-wrote that with my wife, Rachel Eckroth. And I produced it. It was mixed by Jason Kingsland again, the guy from that Ray Gun tune with Jason Robert Blum. So it's a family thing. I'm excited about that track because I think it's kind of different from, like, I mean, it's still leaning on the jazz side, but I think it's got a little more edge and a little more, I don't know. It just needs to come out and see how people respond to it. But I think it's an amazing tune. Catchy and weird at the same time.
And then we had Crane with Not Good Enough, Hammer on Trial, Lapa Ooh Mau Mau. And finally, Ego Mondo featuring
Kokaye. Yeah.
Justice.
Yes.
Enlightenment, Tim.
He's okay. Kokaye and I have been, like, you know, because of what we do in the improvisational scene, like, you know, our thing is, like, you know, sometimes it's avant-garde, sometimes it's electronic. But anyway, we've collaborated on so much stuff over the years. Like, I met him like 10 years ago and we've just been involved. And so, like, and I had this band with Gary Novak and Scott Kinsey. And then we just were kind of, like, you know, sitting around recording these tracks and then, you know, like, okay, what are we going to do with them? So Gary played drums on it and I played bass, and Gary did some editing, and then I kind of was like, I got the perfect guy who's going to come up with hooks on this, and it was Kokaye. So, yeah, that one, I think that was, you know, that's all, it's all a political statement, as you can tell, but, yeah, it's pretty rude track. I like it a lot. And it's also cool, because it's really strictly just drums and bass, and then Kokaye on it.
Yeah, so. Yeah, well, I wanted to ask, what about the bass as a composition tool?
I mean, you know, you know, when you're sitting there playing, you come up with a cool bass line. It's like, okay, shit, let's write a song around it, right?
So, what about not just a bass line? What about writing a whole song on the bass?
Oh, it's been done. You know, like, some of the things I've done with Empire of the Sun, like the Siege, has started off like the chords I played on bass, and then, you know, bass line, and bam, it's off to the races. I mean, it's always got to get handed off from there. To put real, you know, other instruments on it. But yeah, writing on bass is not a problem at all. Even if you're just playing tenths, right? You know, just kind of doing stuff like that and going up and down scales and stuff. It's like, you always can find cool shit, I think.
Well,
you know.
Okay, here's my thought. You know, verse, intros, outros, chorus, bridges, all that kind of stuff can be done on the bass. And you can have all the starts and the stops and the rhythmic component. But then for your collaborators, you're leaving a lot of the harmonic content up to them, because the bass, right? When you write something on the piano, when you write something on the guitar, you're already supplying all those chords, all those voicings, and they kind of are paying it in. With the bass, I find that, and Nels Klein, who loves this idea, some dudes bum out, man. Why don't you fucking write the song on the cymbals, you know? Shit. Like, not enough information. Look, I want to play 87 and Cry.
Through the sky, where the is just a $1 secret. Baby, these were the sounds. Baby, these were the sounds.
Yeah.
And only you whisper these things down to. But it could let me down without talks. Well, it could let me watch without us. Hey, it's down to that guy. Hey, it's down to that guy. Hey, it's down to that guy.
from helicopter.
I don't deal with violence. I like peace with Rastaman. I don't steal shit. You see, I myself, Selassie, I continually, no matter what we can say. And I know that I is a tree, a plant by the river water. And not even the dog that piss against the wall of Babylon shall escape his judgment. For I know that all of you shall witness the day that Babylon shall fall. I'm gonna go to the hospital.
that. I'm going to be good on. Yeah, I say.
Hey, Chopa, here we are. Been on big up not Manjaro, original song from 19 all up, man. Kill anything, anywhere, anytime.
Well, I first did see this. I never show this up and I work it down. Hey, Radigan. Yeah, chat up your more. Here you know. Jaro, bad man, son. You understand how we have program people classical. Yeah. When this is popular, you can't see it. I don't know. Hey, Radigan, here you know.
something happened on the day he died. Spirit rose a meter and stepped aside. Somebody else took his place and bravely cried.
I'm a black star, I'm a black star.
How many times did an angel fall? How many people lie instead of talking tall? He trod the sacred ground, he cried loud into the crowd.
Sedatives move.
Watt for Pedro Show, the last music for this edition. This is David Bowie, 87 and Cry. Then Tim Holehouse, he was on a couple days ago. Time, University Challenge, my buddy AJ out of Holland. His prize, Choppers over Negro. And then finally, Black Star, David Bowie. So, you were saying something earlier about David Bowie and your buddies. You ended up the core of his last band.
Yes. Yep. I mean, you know, he stopped touring in like 2006, and he did the next day, 2013, and then he decided to do one more record and hired us. Like, I think he wanted to just get out of the box a little bit. Like, because, you know, he was using his touring band a lot of the time, who are incredible. And that's, you know, 87 and Cry is like me with Reeves Cabrels and Sterling Campbell and David Torn. And like, that's, I mean, to be honest with you, like, that was a gas for me, because, like, I didn't. You know, like when we did Black Star, it wasn't really Bowie alumni. It was just, okay, new guys. But doing the remake of Never Let Me Down was with all Bowie alumni. That was a thrill. So,
well, Reeves, I got to meet him, and a really nice cat. And he told me he played with them for a few years, 10 or something.
Yeah. Right. He was in Tin Machine.
I got to do a gig with him. Puerto Rican guy, Carlos Alomar.
Yes, Carlos Alomar.
Great player, man. Great fucking kid. Yeah. He was like his man for years, right? With Rojas, I think, was on the bass.
Carmine Rojas.
And, yeah, right.
I don't know. I think it was Alan White at that point, but I think Omar Hakim had played on those records. Yeah.
The Let's Dance, right? The stuff that the Now Rogers used. Yeah. But they go back before. I think they're with the Station to Station and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember seeing Carlos a lot. It was so neat to meet him. But you know, he always looks so sophisticated with the Nehru collar. And then he's like, man, you see my fucking scarf, man? I put my scarf on.
I did a TV show with him for a little while. Like, there was this woman named Caroline Ray. It was like sort of, you know, like a daytime talk show, and he was the MD.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, man. I guess just retiring those guys, they had to find other stuff. And then you were already playing with these guys, right?
With, what do you mean, with Jason and Donnie? Yeah, we've been playing since, like, well, I don't even know. It was like, you know, early 2000s, 2004 or 5 or something like that. But, I mean, the way it happened was that Donnie was playing with this big band with Maria Schneider. It's a famous, like, New York, like, weekly thing that happens in New York. And Bowie had done a track with her called Sewer in a Season of Crime. And then he asked her to do a record, and I think she wasn't available because she was working on her own record. So she said no, but check out Donnie McCaslin's band. Gave her the CD. He came to the 55 Bar, another reason why that place is legendary. He came to see us at the 55 Bar, and then that was it. So after that, we did the record. Pretty crazy how it all went down.
Yeah, wow. And who's the bass man upstate? Tony Visconti, right?
Tony Visconti. No, Tony Levin. You mean Tony Levin?
No, I'm talking about the producer, man.
Oh, yeah.
But he also does bass. He's a bass man.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, right. So he produced it. In fact, like, you know, like a bunch of those bass lines on the Black Star, like, he had demoed on bass, so, like, I was just kind of ripping him off, you know.
Do you know
like about Lazarus is totally his bass line.
Do you know
the intro and outro is mine, but the rest is his.
He plays some great fuzz bass on that Width of the Circle. What's it called? It's the one before Man Who Sold the World or some shit like that. He's playing fuzz bass like Jack Bruce kind of thing. It's really good. But, you know, the reason I know Reeves is because he plays Reverend guitars, and there's a Reverend bass called the Watt Plower.
Right, the short scale, which is incredible. Right.
Yeah, for gigs I had to go to short scale because my hands got
messed up. Yeah, because it sounds like you're brutally beating the bass. So, like, I could see it.
But recording, I sit down, so I always play long scales for recording, but for gigs, yeah. But anyway, Tony plays a Watt Plower. I see a picture of him playing one.
Oh, that's cool. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, me either. Blew my mind. Anyway, I got a lot of respect for him. And, you know, working with the producer, being a bass player, it's important.
Yep.
You know, you're going to be, what do you call it? The wish granter, the realizer, the helper.
Yeah.
Helper
exactly.
Maker.
Yep. I'm trying to do a lot more of that. I mean, I know it doesn't pay these days, but I'm not doing it for the money. I'm doing it because I want the experience and I want to help people shape their records. You know, it's like, it's kind of a, that gives me just as much pleasure as playing bass on something. So.
And what about a young person getting into bass? All the years you've done, and what would be your advice, Tim?
Man, I don't know. I mean, just kind of, I mean, at this point, because the game is, find out who you are, right? And then,
right.
And then make that apply to the bass, and just find out what your sound is and what your vibe is.
Yeah.
Without being, you have to still be open to shit. It's not like, just, oh, I'm this, and, you know. It's always good to keep growing, which, you know.
Right. Stop learning, stop living, I think Buddha said.
Yeah, that's right. So, like, it's that kind of thing. Like, just stay open to a lot of stuff and then see what happens. You know, it's like, just make your music. It's fun. Like, you know, since we've been in COVID, I had a Patreon page and I've been teaching a bunch and I've met some really cool people, like, some of whom are just amazing musicians in general. It's, you know, so you can see, like, you know, people are still doing that, which is cool. I mean, maybe they're not making any money doing it, but they're still doing it. And I think that's really important.
And where can people find you on the internet, Tim?
Well, I have a website, timlefevremusic.com.
Let's spell it for
T-I-M, L-E-F as in Frank, E-B as in boy, V as in Victor, R-E.com.
Yeah,
and,
great.
I also have a Patreon page called Live from Blackbird.
Well, you probably got, I've been to your site and there's a link to it there.
So, cool. Right.
Excuse me. Big honor to have you on the show, Tim. Thanks so much.
Man. Listen, I'm flattered and blown away that you had me, and thank you so much. You're a legend, the god of bass, and all the very best to you.
Well, look, any new music you got, flow my way and come back on the show.
I'd love to. It'd be a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay, brother. People, it's been the January 8, 2021 edition of Wild Peter, so keep your powder dry.